Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm Neil Manthorpe, and over the next hour, I'll be joined, as always, by former England fast bowler Steve Harmison to look back at the first round of the County Championship. We'll discuss the big wins for Hampshire and Somerset, pick out the standout performances of the week as 19 different batsmen hit centuries, and we're also joined by Glamorgan's Billy Root and the evergreen Darren Stevens, who at 44, almost 45, is continuing to impress for Kent. So much to discuss. We'll also be talking about the format of this year's championship. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Well, Homie, there were a lot of highlights, four or five wicket hauls, 1900s. But the biggest highlight for me is that there were so many highlights with the championship beginning in the second week of April. I think a lot of people were pretty pessimistic about the weather, but do you know what? The whole thing went down really well.
Absolutely, Manners. Yeah, I thought it did. I thought there was some, you know, looking at, especially looking at the stream, you know, I watched a little bit of different games, which was shown now. You can get on the internet, which was fantastic for me. Fair play to ECB. Brilliant innovation, that. So you can see what's going on. Watch your favourite team, watch your favourite players. And they didn't disappoint, especially with the bat. Speaking from experience, former fast bowler, disappointed with some of the bowling, if I'm brutally honest. I was actually disappointed with some of the conditions of the bowlers as well, because there were some big lads knocking it down, which looking in the COVID world now, I'd say, you know, getting miles in the legs was pretty difficult, and I think you could see that. But fair play, some fantastic batting. Interesting. I was at group one and group three, all three matches in each group drawn. Group two seems to be the business group. All three matches were a result. Fantastic result for Gloucester. Fair play. Well done to Gloucester to beat the big boys of Surrey. Now, that was even though Ben Folkes got a magnificent 100, you know, it's a massive win for Gloucester. Great result for Hampshire. Good start for James Vince. I'll leave that one for the minute. James Vince, 231, was a fantastic score. And Somerset winning by four wickets in a nail-biter at Middlesex. So for me, that seems to be the business group. There was obviously more results in that group. But all in all, some fantastic cricket, especially from the batters.
I'm not going to let you get away with that. I'm not going to let you leave James Vince's 231, because my intuition tells me that you feel if it's not worthy of an asterisk, then it is certainly not your average 231, because it was against Leicester. My sense is that you're not rating Leicester's attack.
Not really. No, I didn't think the Leicester attack had anything that you'd be frightened of, and that's no disrespect to Leicester. I think Paul Nixon will do a fantastic job down at Leicester. Had them working hard, especially in white ball cricket. But it looked as though there was a little bit toothless on a pretty placid pitch. And I don't know about you, Manners, but I get annoyed when I hear people get discarded and written off as young players. They go into international cricket at 20, 21, 22, 23, and they're actually better players than they're 28. But they've got no chance of playing international cricket ever again, because we just write them off. As pundits, they just write them off. No, he's got too many technical flaws. And I look at two guys, especially this week, possibly three, have been written off, because they've got technical problems. And that's Wesley down at Essex, got a magnificent double 100. Robson at Middlesex, who got 160 at Lords. And then James Vince. Again, the attack that he got the runs against was is something that he would have to prove to me to get more runs against a better attack. You look at who's in Hampshire's group, possibly Middlesex with, you know, Roland Jones and Murtagh, and see how he goes on that one. And the Somerset attack with the with Craig Overton, then we'll see where he gets to. But to say James Vince is back and should be paid for England, I go back to a long, you know, a while ago when everybody was clamouring for Kevin Peterson to come back. And I remember standing with Dominic Cork, who had a massive rant standing next to me saying, Leicester haven't won a game for 2 years. They haven't bowled a team out for 20 wickets in 2 years. Playing on a flat pitch at the Oval. Kevin Peterson gets 330 and everybody wants him back. No, just look at it in context. Not quite that bad for me with James Vince, but I think he needs to score runs against better bowling attacks for to be considered for to get back in that test spot, get his test spot back. Because what there is, for the three guys I've just mentioned, there is a place on offer. There is a place at 1, 2, and 3 for England. If they don't start well in the summer, you know, there is a possible opportunity to get back into that test team, especially with the Ashes coming up.
Our attention is obviously drawn towards the victories. And you know, Sam Robson, it was a long innings. And we all know that Chris Silverwood is a big fan of occupying the crease and batting time as well as runs. So another 100 from him or another couple of big performances, and he might just be pushing for a place, as you say, at the top of the order in the top three. But talking about batting time, how about Jake Libby? That was the second longest championship innings of all time. 180 not out, 496 balls, almost 11 hours. That's, I mean, you know, it was a high scoring draw, Essex Worcester. But how about that for an innings?
Absolutely, and a good start to the summer. That's what you want. You always want a good start of the summer, and that for me has been the letdown over the course of the last sort of 3 or 4 years. That the runs, the volume of runs from the top, the high run scorers, hasn't been to the level it has before. I remember playing when the likes of Graham Hick, Mark Rambakash, Steve James, I had 1,000 runs before the end of May. You've got a chance now. You've played 7 championship games. And a lot of people talk about the weather and pitches. These pitches must be all right. There's a lot of runs scored. I mentioned about how poor the bowling. But, yeah, Libby down at Worcester, it's a fantastic knock. It actually, when I seen that and 400-odd balls, it did actually put the, you know, the chills up me, because I remember playing against Joe Sear at Headingley on the flattest wicket in the world. We had a good pace attack. So Headingley Leeds decided to play on a flat one, a really slow, low pitch. And Joe Sears, I think he had 4 off 90-odd balls. He got 100 and he got a big 100 off about nearly 500 balls. It was the longest 3 days of my entire life. So even though Libby batted 400 balls, well done, son. Good start to the summer, because that's what you want. You want a good start. Don't want pressure, because what if you don't go after a good start, 7 championship games in a short space of time at the start of the summer, you're always worried about your place. You're always worried about technique. If you can get off to 100, 150, 180 in Libby's terms, you know, as a young player, you're thinking, right, I'm looking forward and looking up as opposed to looking back and looking over my shoulder. So, yeah, you know, good start.
What do you make of the format? And for those, and I know that there are plenty of people who are still slightly confused and don't quite know how it works. Let me just very briefly explain it. 3 divisions of 6 teams, everybody plays each other in their division, home and away. So that's 10 games for everybody. And then the top 2 teams from each group go into Division 1, carrying over the points that they've played against each other. And they then play the 4 other teams who they haven't played in Division 1. The remaining 12 teams are separated into Division 2 and Division 3. And the top 2 teams still play for the Bob Willis Trophy at Lords in over 5 days, starting on September the 27th. I hope I've explained that clearly. The teams have been divided into their 3 divisions in a random draw, haven't they? But in time, I believe the intention is for there to be genuinely 3 divisions on merit.
I'd like to think so, Manus. I quite like this system. Reducing the amount of days played is not trying to lose cricket. You know, I, for me, I think the more cricket you play, sometimes it can be derogatory. You could go through the motions a little bit. You don't get, you know, positive, good cricket in a post of the minute. The way first class was, it was a little bit of weak mentality, weak cricket, because, well, if I make a mess this week, I'm batting again at the start of next week. Where if you have more time in between games, you've got a better preparation, there's more onus on valuing your wicket or valuing the spell that you're bowling. So, you know, your concentration levels will be a lot higher because you've had a little bit more time to prepare, and you should, in theory, get better standard of cricket. And I think that's what we all want. What I like about this is it's starting to reduce it to a point. I know there's people out there who want 16 first-class matches, another want 14 first-class matches. I'm not going to steal Bumble's thunder. Bumble wants 10. Listening to Bumble, I want 10. I think it is right. I think 10 games would be perfect with a final at the end. And the way this system works is it will get the best teams into Division 1, the next best teams into Division 2, the next best teams into Division 3, and then that will then slowly but surely make it, you know, clear five teams in your division. I like it. I really do. If it gets to that point where the best six teams in the country are playing against each other in 10 games, going toe-to-toe with a final at the end. And then the teams are striving to get into divisions from 3-2 and 2-1. So for me, if it goes down that road, I think that's perfect for the standard of first-class cricket in this country come 1 or 2, possibly 3 years' time. And I think the way I spoke about Leicester before, I'm not trying to be patronising or derogatory towards them, but if Leicester start playing and their players get used to winning matches and playing competitive cricket against players teams at a similar standard and a similar ability, they will get better. They will get better, especially if they get more chance of preparation. If you're at a team that's bottom of the league all the time and you're playing one game every single week, it's a bit like heads down, shoulders slumped, confidence is gone. For me, that's no way at all to sort of play first-class cricket. Give them a chance of better preparation, give them a better pitches to play on, and give them a chance to play and a chance to win games. And I think, for me, that would be the best system to be.
Very quickly, before we go into the break, do you think it's marginalising first-class cricket? Now, of course, the 100 will dominate the middle of the summer, the best months of the summer, and the championship's kind of being squeezed into, well, it's an early spring. I mean, do you think it's disrespectful?
I think it is, but unfortunately, that's the way the world's going. I'm saying I want 10 games. I want 10 games because I don't want 14 games played in poorer conditions. And I think that's the reality of what we've got now. You can argue about the 100, you can argue about T20, you can argue about 50 overs, what format and what fits in, what, where and when. First-class cricket, for me, has still got a high value because Test cricket has got a high value. But I think you have to move with the times. And unfortunately, the moving with the times seems to be that white ball cricket dominates because of the finances in the game. And we still have to value red ball cricket. For me, let's get the best out of red ball cricket as opposed to overkill of the amount of days played. So I don't like cutting down the games, but unfortunately, the way the system is now working with white ball being more dominant, I want the best format of red ball cricket. And I think the best format of red ball cricket is reducing the time on the field, giving them chance to better preparation and giving, you know, the better surfaces to play on. And if we do that, I think first-class cricket will get better rather than get worse.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we'll discuss how the England players fared during round one of the new championship season. But next up, we hear from everybody's favourite player, everyone's favourite all-rounder, surely, Darren Stevens, who turns 45 on the 30th of this month. Don't forget to get your birthday cards in. But when will he be calling it a day? Find out here on TalkSport 2. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. It was a busy opening round of this season's County Championship with 19 batsmen scoring three figures. One of those, of course, was Kent's Darren Stevens, who at 44 is continuing to play some of the best cricket of his career. A little earlier today, he sat down with Harmy to look back at his unbeaten 116 against Northamptonshire and discuss what the future holds for the all-rounder who turns 45 later this month. One of my favourite quirks about Darren Stevens is that he has now scored first-class centuries in four different decades.
Steve-O, it's great for you to join us. 116, first day of the season against Northampton. 14 days before your 45th birthday. I think there's a lot of us ex-pros not asking why, but I think asking how are you still playing?
Mate, that's a very, very good question. And I think the big G word, the Guinness, has a lot to do with the bones in their body. But no, look, mate, I just, you know, I thrive on it. I enjoy it. And you know, years of bowling sort of takes it out of you. But that's where, you know, I didn't really start bowling until I was late 20s, early 30s. So, you know, I bowled a lot in the nets and stuff like that. But I reckon if I was bowling when I was 21 when I started, I don't reckon I'd be walking now.
In the longevity, how much immense proud. I'm talking, you know, Neil Manthorpe earlier, and he couldn't believe four decades. Longevity is ridiculous.
Yeah, look, like I say, though, I think the bowling's helped me a lot, and coming on in the back end of my career, you know, it's helped me hugely. Where, you know, you can get away with it a little bit. If you don't get any runs, you've always got a bat to try and to have a bowl to try and get some wickets to sort of keep you in the game and keep you interested. You know, in the last few years, it's shown a little bit on my batting. It's took a bit of a hiding, but you know, if you think about all the pitches we've played on, and you know, if I've bowled 20, 25 overs in an innings, and then I'm batting at 5 and 6, I'm, you know, some mornings I'm in it in the first 20 minutes, and it's like my body couldn't cope with it. But I think last year sort of helped me as well. And I know it's not a great time for us all with the old COVID, but having, you know, only playing 6 weeks of the year sort of helped the body.
How's that been, the COVID situation? Because there's a lot of talk about how this restructuring first-class cricket might benefit first-class cricket going forward. How's it been from a preparation point of view? Because, you know, we just talked earlier before you came on here, talk about playing golf. Yeah. 2 weeks before the season, it was glorious sunshine, and then the cricket started and it was freezing again. So how's the preparation been for that?
It's been tough. Like I said to somebody the other day, actually, I'm usually... I'm a very fortunate man. I've got a very understanding wife where I've had, you know, this is the first February in 26 years I've been in the UK. So every year I've been away pre-season, taking myself away to Cape Town and training out there, you know, lucky enough to have some close friends and family out there that look after me nicely. But yeah, the prep was great then. But then, you know, this year we've been indoors and doing one-on-ones where actually we've not really seen much of our teammates until, you know, mid-February this year. It's been a strange one. And then, you know, all of a sudden we're boom, back in together all at once and in your own little bubble and stuff like that. But the games, it's like if you remember back to pre-season games, cold days, yeah. You know, there's nothing really on the game bar. You've got to be out there and get 100 overs in your legs to just sort of get used to it. Where that's actually what the first class games feel like a little bit. Until you get a couple whizzing around your ear holes, then it's like, well, actually, no, I'm in a bit of a battle.
But you mentioned whizzing them around your ear hole and things like that. In the time you've played, you made your debut in 97, I think it was, and then you know, still playing now, and some of the fantastic players you've played with. The eras, you know, the time span you've played. How do you see first-class cricket changing? Because the way I look at it is you sort of came in the game a similar time to me. Some of the overseas players we played with were phenomenal, some ridiculous ones. First one I played with was David Boone. I think you might have played with someone like Steve Waugh at Kent. But, you know, these characters, they're not there anymore in first-class. How would you see first-class cricket changed?
Different. Like, I like this year because they've added in two overseas. Yeah. Obviously, we know it's to help out the Colpack players in their final years. But, you know, you still need that class of player, the international touch. You know, because the international players now, they're wrapped up quite a bit now. Where you guys used to play, you know, week in, week out. And, you know, that was great for you know, people trying to push for international honours. They're getting to play against their peers that are playing for England at the time, and then obviously, like you say, the overseas that are coming and playing. It's changed. It is changed a little bit. I think the pitches over here have changed a lot more. Personally, I don't think the two divisions help that, being that everybody in the second division was trying to get out of the second division and prepared green seamers. Yeah. And it helped, personally, it helped myself, people like myself that bowl medium pace and hit the stumps, where when we moved up into the first division, it was actually more of a patience game and more of an offside game. So I actually look at it as in the second division was an onside game, first division was an offside game, and actually preparing you for higher honours, because that's generally what Test cricket is. So it's changed a little bit, and you know, looking at the bigger picture, it's helping England produce our own cricketers, English cricketers. It's given more youngsters more of a chance. You know, I go to teams now and I look at the team and I've got no idea who some of them are. They're the odd random person that I know, but you know, there's so many youngsters coming through now, and that surely can only be good for English cricket.
And you mentioned English cricket. I'm going to keep banging on about the age side of it, but Zach Crawley wasn't even born when you made your first Test debut for Leicester. And to see the likes of Zach and Sam Billings do well for England, coming from Kent, it must be fulfilling. You know, even at the sort of the age you're at and the experience you've had, to see some of these young players make mistakes, come back to see the likes of Rob Key and Darren Stevens in the Kent dressing room, to then hopefully push them back onto the boat and get them back into some sort of shape to go back and play and go for England honours.
Yeah, no, mate, it's, you know, I'm proud to be a teammate and a friend to especially both of them two lads that you've just mentioned there, you know, Zach and Sam, I'm really close with. You know, I'm proud to see them doing well, and like seeing my mate Joe Denley doing well, and fingers crossed he can get a few big scores and push his case for the Ashes trip in the winter, because I think he'll thrive on that. But then we've got some really good youngsters coming through, a couple of nice seam bowlers, Matt Milnes. We've got all rounder Grant Stewart, gives it a good whack and bowls good pace. And then we've got a really exciting talent in Jordan Cox, the opener, and then also Ollie Robinson, the keeper, who got 80 odd last week, played brilliantly. So it's really nice to see these boys doing well, and I just hope they can kick on and learn and, you know, represent their country.
Absolutely. And where do you see Darren Stevens going into 46 and possibly 47? You keep signing these 1-year contracts, and I know the golf handicap has took a little bit of a hammer off plus three at the minute. And, but hey, of every day it comes, but where's Darren Stevens going?
I'd love to coach. You know, I think everybody that sort of, if they've got it, if they have it in them and they want to coach, I think when they come out of the game, I think that's a great time to sort of get people involved. And personally, I feel that if I go into coaching, I'd want to do it straight away. I think if you go away from the game and then come back again, I think you could lose track of it all. So I would love to coach. I've done my level three. So, you know, I love the conversations that I have with the lads, and because I'm tight with all the youngsters and even the senior players, you know, I'm always in conversation about batting and bowling and game situations and stuff like that. And I thrive on it. So I'm a bit of a cricket badger. I really enjoy that sort of stuff. So, yes, I would love to go down that front. Hopefully at Kent, but you just never know.
Darren Stevens, a young man at heart. You've got Yorkshire this week. Yeah, the old White Rose. Joe Root, England captain, coming down to Canterbury. Another 100 wouldn't go amiss in front of the England captain, eh?
Well, I wouldn't mind having him in my back pocket, though, son.
Here's one for you. Would you rather get 100 in front of him or get him out very, very early bowling?
Oh, that's a good question. Can I take 50 and nick him off?
And nick him off.
That was the evergreen Kent all-rounder Darren Stevens speaking with Steve Harmison. Harmy, you know that I'm obsessed with longevity in sport. I mean, it's just a topic that I think it probably goes back to the fact that when I started as a 20-year-old in this business, it was at Warwickshire, and Norman Gifford was playing for the Bears, having spent most of his career with Worcestershire, of course, and he was 47 going on 48. And to me, as a young 20-year-old, he was the oldest man on earth. I just couldn't get my head around the fact that he was playing first class cricket at 48. And I've been obsessed with it ever since. And that's why I'm just so fond of Darren Stevens. I mean, he makes you shake his head, doesn't he? You just cannot imagine playing at 45.
No, definitely not at 45. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant to see Steve-O playing, batting as well. You know, and the talk about your, when you get older, your fast twitch fibres move, you know, they get slower, you slow down a bit. Not one bit of it. Now, as Darren Stevens, he seems to have got better and better. I remember playing against him in, I think, 97 or 98. And the one thing about Darren Stevens, he's always played the short ball very, very well. And you look at the way he's looked after himself. You know, a very keen golfer, good golfer as well. A lot of, you know, exercise. Not somebody you'd say, you know, I think, you know, Steve-O would be somebody who didn't enjoy the warm-up side coming from Kent with the likes of Rob Key and people like that. He's had a great time. He's had a fantastic time. And like I mentioned about the young kids, young Libby before, and, you know, some of the young players that get hundreds in the first week of the county championship. Darren Stevens is no different. You know, whether he's, you know, whether he's 44 or 45, he will still, he's got a big value in the Kent dressing room. He'll want to get off to a good start, and getting 100 on the first day of the season is magnificent for him. And, you know, you look at the bowling attack that Northampton have got, it's not a bad attack. Young Nathan Buck got 3 or 4 wickets, got a bit of pace, slowing down a little bit, but not as quick as he used to be when he was probably when he was at Lancashire. But, you know, he's still got a yard of pace, and, you know, good on Steve-O, because, you know, I've been critical of the type of bowling of Darren Stevens, 70 mile an hour playing on these greenish pitches. Well, I look at this, it just seems that the wickets have been flat this week. So you have to be a top level batsman or top level bowler to get wickets. And I think that's what's been let down from the first round of the championship that I've seen. And the batting has been very, very good, because the pitches must be very, very good. And good on Darren Stevens for doing that.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with the Institute of Cricket. Next up, we'll look back at a mixed opening round of the county championship for the England players. And we'll also hear from Glamorgan's Billy Root, who scored an unbeaten 100 against his brother, actually scored the runs that brought up his 100 against England's test captain, Joe Root. You'll hear from him next.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Steve Harmison, as we review the opening round of the County Championship. If you've missed any of the show or wish to catch up, you can listen back to the podcast, now available from the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. Time now to reflect on probably a mixed week for the prominent England Test players. I don't think anybody could have done too much damage after just one round of championship matches. They'll be hoping to get into form as we move into the third, fourth and fifth rounds of the championship. But Joe Root made just 29 in both innings for Yorkshire against Glamorgan. Dom Bess struggled, none for 106. Rory Burns made 74 for Surrey. Ollie Pope struggled. Ben Foulkes made 130. Dom Sibley, a typically gritty innings for Warwickshire, 29 off 100 balls.
What England performances struck you, Harmy?
Yeah, I think when you haven't been in this position before and coming back off a tour and then going straight back into the county stuff, you put into context, I would say, especially the ones that played test match cricket for England in the winter in India, I would have said that maybe he's just had a week of cricket going into this. So I'd look at maybe his next week, the week after, if the guys, the top order of England, especially Burns, Sibley and Crawley, who are probably playing for their place at the top of the order, if they're not scoring runs by round three, then I'd question, you know, how much good form are they, you know, they're in, and is there question marks on their place. I wouldn't look too much into it as of this round of county championship. I remember many, many times getting off a plane sort of mid-March, having to go and play a first-class cricket at the start of April, only going to the ground to do the media call, probably bowling, having two nets before the first-class game. And it wasn't until possibly game two or game three where you feel as though you got your miles in your legs. You're now getting your miles in your legs in the middle as opposed to just in nets. So I don't look too much into it. You know, when you look at players that are trying to get in the side, that's what I'd be more looking at now, because they're the ones that have had possibly a winter off. They're the ones that'll see that, you know what, there's a test spot up for grabs here. I can get into that one, two or three if, you know, the ones that are in possession aren't scoring any runs. So the likes of Vince, not done himself any harm. Wesley, double 100, not done himself any harm. Sam Robson, same, 160, not done himself any harm. Young Bracey, who's been away, got 54. Again, somebody who has carried a lot of drinks. They're the ones I'd be looking at to say, right, if the likes of Crawley, Burns and Sibley don't get runs, who's knocking on that door? Who has got it in them to go and get 400s out of the first seven championship games? And if they do, they've got a chance potentially of breaking into this England side, because I personally think the England cricket team 1 to 11 will come from first class cricket when it comes to playing against New Zealand, rather than the IPL players coming back. I think especially if they go on to the latter stages. So there's a lot of places up for grabs from the England point of view.
What about the bowlers? You mentioned the batsmen there, and it's clear that there are places in the top order in particular up for grabs. But somebody like Rhys Topley took 5 for 66 against for Surrey. I mean, is he thinking, well, it'll be Broaden, Anderson and well, maybe not Wokes because he's in the IPL, of course. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, does Rhys Topley have enough incentive there, belief that if he keeps taking fifers, he can force his way in?
I think Rhys Topley's just got to stay fit, Manners. I don't think there's any question. I don't think I've sat in this programme and questioned his selection a couple of times for the winter tours, and it was down to fitness more than anything else. Rhys Topley's a fantastic young cricketer, and I'd say a young cricketer, he's been around a while. It's a bit like a Tim Bresnan, where you look at, you think, right, he's been around forever, and you look at his age, and he's only 26. He's been around a long, long time, to be fair, Rhys Topley. So I think for Rhys, his body filling, you know, getting to a point where can he bowl overs consistently, come back tomorrow and bowl them again? And I think if he does that, his skill level is fantastic. You know, we showed in the winter, he's got a good skill level, tall, 6 foot. His dad told us he's 6'8". I thought he was 6'5". And he's got enough pace to get the ball to move and swing. So now I'm pleased for the big fella. And you know, if he gets wickets, it's another knock on the door. You know, you'd imagine the test match, it's going to be Broad, Anderson, Wood. They'll probably play in the first test match with ear spinner. Jack Leach, what did he get? He got 1 for 43 off 22. He got 3 for 18 off 11. So not bad for Leach, you know, for cold fingers getting going. Young Mason Crane, a little bit expensive, but a wicket taker. He's been away a lot this winter. 3 wickets in each innings for Mason Crane. Gregory got wickets, and who's been away with England, and so did Craig Overton. He got 5 in the match for they're the ones that you look and think who's going to knock on the door. So I fully expect England to have Broad, Anderson, Wood, Leach, possibly another all-rounder in that middle order. That will be the bowling attack. But there's people got to knock on the door. And when you've not got Stokes, they potentially have to play another out and out bowler and fiddle around with the baton, because you know how much Stokes balances that England side up. So if I was playing first class cricket and I was on the cusp of the England side, that would be my goal. Not so much can I get into the team, can I get on the plane to Australia in 9 months' time?
Well, absolutely. It was a difficult week, as we've mentioned, for Joe Root, scoring just 29 runs in both innings against Glamorgan for Yorkshire. On the flip side, it was a very good week for his younger brother, Billy, who scored an unbeaten 110 against his older brother as they began the season with a draw. Early on, he spoke to Harmy to discuss what it was like playing against his older brother, as well as looking ahead to the rest of 2021.
Billy, thanks for joining us. Interesting week last week. First of all, how was Mum and Dad? For anybody that doesn't know, listening, Mum and Dad, followed the Root brothers everywhere through, from under sixes all the way through. And to have Billy against Joe at Headingley would have been something they could have only dreamt of, but unfortunately they couldn't be there.
I mean, it must have been a special week for them. You know, I know they're incredibly proud of Joe, and it was nice for me to go up there where it all started for me, where they were taking me up from Sheffield to Headingley, week in, week out. Really special for me, not only to play my first championship game there, but, also, to get a couple of runs. It was nice to play against Joe, and, for Glamorgan to be on the good side of the win, taking the most points there, it was a really special week for me personally, yeah.
And for you, so last year, a few hundreds last year, a different championship season, the way the COVID was, where world is. It's not the two divisions. It was a different season last year. How you found it down in the Welsh capital?
I absolutely love it down here, mate. The people are great. Very similar to the north, very friendly. Yeah. And, I've been welcomed in as soon as I came down here. And, it's been great ever since. And it's such a great squad to be involved in. And, everyone's sort of pulling in the right direction. And it's great to see everyone enjoying everyone's success. Everyone's cheering each other on. And the bowlers are so excited for the batters to score hundreds, and the batters equally excited to when the bowlers take wickets. So it's a great environment to be a part of.
And for yourself personally, when the fixtures came out, Headingley, first game of the season, how long have you been excited and waiting for this to walk out at what is your where you grew up, home, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've grown up dreaming of scoring 100 at Headingley as a little boy, so incredibly special. And that stadium's changed a lot since I first went to watch a game there. And it looks great now, and it was a real joy to spend the week there.
You go to Headingley, you find out he's 18 months older than you, but your older brother's playing against you, whether people can say living in your brother's shadow or whatever, your Billy Root, forging your own professional and first class career. But how special was it to walk on a field, even though you're in opposition, to your brother?
Yeah, I think a lot of the guys will have felt something similar, because although he's my big brother, he's also one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
So to take the field against a player of that quality is special. And, everyone out there can be proud of the way we performed on that stage in front of the England captain. It was just a little bit extra special for me, whether he's playing against me or not. Every time I go out there, I'm trying to make him proud as well as the rest of my family and myself. And it was really special to play against him. Because of these times, it was just really nice to see him.
Yeah. I suppose you can go wave your mum and dad and wave at your grandma and granddad, and the only chance you can get to see your brother is actually by playing against him on a cricket field. So it's mad the way the world is. But you talk about the first class season, the way it is, and Headingley, like it is. But when you play in a game and forget the brother's situation of it, when you go on the field as an opposition, and one of the best players in the world's in that dressing room or on that field, did you see a marked difference in the Glamorgan players? Not just looking at how he performs, but also potentially about half nine in preparation when your lads are warming up, just having a glance over to think, oh, I wonder how the best players prepare for a day's cricket.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of that that goes on as well. You know, when you play against various counties and everyone prepares differently. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of guys were sort of like keeping an eye out or even asking him questions, you know, how do you go about these sorts of things? Or off spinners sort of asking Bessie questions about how often he bowls leading up to a game. And I think it's really important when we get those opportunities to, you know, pick the brains of these world-class players.
And Billy Root going forward, have you already tapped him on the shoulder and said, if I get a couple more of these, I might play in your team, England captain?
No, I haven't actually. You know, I mean, I'm sure he's got a full team doing all those things. And there's so many good players out there at the minute. You know, for me, that's always been a dream, but it's one step at a time and game by game for me at the minute.
Glamorgan's Billy Root speaking with Harmy there. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. And in the final part of the programme, we'll look at some of the standout performances from the opening round of the new season. You're listening to TalkSport 2. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. A strong week for the batsmen, as we've mentioned, with 19 different players scoring centuries, four bowlers picking up five wicket hauls. And in the final part of the show, we'll discuss some of the other standout performances of the week. Harmy, I don't think we've done Somerset enough justice for their victory over Middlesex. I mean, they were so far behind, weren't they? But 89 for 9 in their first innings before making 170 with some runs, actually, from Marchant de Lange, the South African fast bowler. But that, I mean, does it say as much about the, I don't know, team spirit, the attitude, the approach of the Somerset group?
I think it does, Manners. I think it shows that they're in a, even though they haven't played for nearly 6 months, there's a winning mentality in that dressing room. They got to the final last year. They still haven't won the county championship after all these years, but they've come close on many occasions. And the fighting spirit, like you say, the winning from all places, that sticks with you in the dressing room. Even though you've had a little bit of a layoff, you know, the mentality is still the same when you go out on the pitch. And I must admit, I thought they were dead in the water. Robson gets a fantastic 100, which we've touched on. And you're thinking, hold on, yeah, Middlesex could roll them over and go in again and roll them over again. So, you know, fair play to Somerset. Again, they'll be looking to get into that Division One group first and foremost. They're in a group which you'd fancy them to potentially get there, because once Surrey players disappear and start playing international cricket, that's where they've Surrey got the strength and depth at the back end of the championship to force their way into that Division One. Same with the sort of Hampshire. So no, they were very, very good. Yeah, you know, Leach we touched on, who, you know, you got four wickets in the match, but it'll be good bowling at Lords. No real turn, but when you bowl at Lords, you've got the slope, so it's like the ball turning as well. So he got a good run out. What did he got? He got, you know, 34 overs in his belt. So no, it was a good start for Somerset in a results group, a group that had all three games results. So that's the biggest thing that you need. You need to pick up wins. You know, draws are no good if everybody else in your group's winning, especially when you're playing, you're not playing as many games and you're trying to force your way into Division One. So a good start, especially against one of the more favoured teams in that group. You know, you've got Leicester and Gloucester who, even though Gloucester beat Surrey, would probably struggle to win the volume of matches to get in the top two. Somerset could definitely get into that top two. And, you know, what a start they've got off to at Lords.
You mentioned Surrey twice there. That was going to be my next question to you. You know, the richest county in England, one of the richest cricket clubs in the world. They can sign anybody, really. They've got the cash resources to do so. Do you remember a couple of years ago when they signed Virat Kohli? I mean, injury meant that he never took up his place in the Surrey lineup. But I'm curious that they decided to use up one of their overseas player spots on Hashim Amla. I mean, he's retired from international cricket for a couple of years now, has played very little cricket. He did make 50 in the first innings, but a second innings duck. the feeling certainly amongst South Africans was that he retired, would say politely, at the right time, maybe a little bit too late. You know, he was completely out of sorts of the 2019 World Cup. And he's quite long in the tooth, as well as long in the beard. And I just wonder why Surrey would have gone for him. And have they signed him on reputation?
Possibly reputation, but also on what he gives you in a dressing room. That's huge for me. And if he can score runs, it's not so much a bonus. He's there to score runs because that's what you sign your overseas for. But I don't know Hashim too much, played against him quite a bit. He's somebody that works on his game. He's not somebody that would be a bad influence. He was not somebody that set a bad example. He sets good examples. His work ethic is very, very good. And I think for young players, that for me is worth the weight in gold, because the young players give you energy. The young players around you will give you enthusiasm. And if they're just little tweaks and know how off, one of the greats of the game, because he has been, fantastic servant for South African cricket. Batting in the middle order with somebody like Ollie Pope would give him huge confidence and experience. And I go back to during my time, there was a lot of question marks on Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul in the West Indies cricket, a lot of disillusioned stuff, whether has he finished, is he gone, is he at the age he's at. He came over to Durham and he was magnificent. He just didn't look like not scoring runs. He was fantastic. And the players that bounced off him, we won the championship in 2008, just got over the line down at Canterbury. We won it with four games to spare. We beat everybody. We were arguably, with the bowling attack we had in Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul, Dale Benkenstein and Michael DiVinito, that's arguably as good a first-class side that's been in the last 15, 20 years of first-class cricket. But Chanderpaul gives the young lads not only a lot of confidence, but batting with them in the middle and not panicking, being in the middle in tough situations. And that's what Shiv give the likes of Mark Stoneman, Scott Borthwick, who went on. They've gone on and played for England. These guys, they give you more than just runs. And I think that's what Amla will give that Surrey dressing room. Yes, he needs to chip in, and you'd want him to expect him to get 1,000 runs. And playing at the Oval, you'd expect him to get 1,000 runs quite comfortably. But there's also other things that these guys give you. That's why Gareth Batty's playing at 42. You live with bats. You know the enthusiasm that bats gives, the know-how, the clip around the ear every now and again when a little, jumped up little upstart decides that he's going to be a bubby station because he's got a Surrey tracksuit on. These things do help. And they just keep that train going in the right direction. It doesn't deviate. It keeps it going. And these guys are there just to hold it in line. Still got pride in their personal performance, but they're making sure that, the bus is going in the right direction. The young lads will give us enthusiasm and energy. And every now and again, when it comes to possibly getting tough runs, you'll see Amla get tough runs. He might not get the pretty runs when nobody's watching. No more tough runs. And another example, why is Alistair Cook still playing first-class cricket? There was nothing more. I could have put my mortgage on Alistair Cook getting 100 in the Bob Willis Trophy final last year at Lord's. Because when it comes to big games, tough runs, that's why these guys were so, so special. And I think that's what Surrey and Alex Stewart, Vic Solanke and Bats are hoping that's what Amla gives to that Surrey dressing room.
I'm going to get you to finish by looking ahead to the second round of championship matches. But just before you do that, we've had news that Jofra Archer is fit to resume training. A couple of days ago, Kumar Sangakkara said that he would not be rushed back into the IPL before he was ready and fit. Now, I believe Kumar Sangakkara, the person, and I believe Kumar Sangakkara, the cricketer, but Kumar Sangakkara, the director of cricket for the Rajasthan Royals, I do not believe. I cannot believe. I mean, the whole purpose of Rajasthan Royals season was to get Chris Morris and Jofra Archer bowling together. Of course he's going to be rushed back into the team, isn't he?
Well, you'd think so. After watching them last night, I did the IPL preview show with John Norman the other day, and I said the Rajasthan Royals home players, the Indian players, are going to be the ones that I'd be questioning. And Sonny Sampson got a fantastic 100, but I said the Bolton attack looks toothless. Without Archer, it looks toothless. I'd have tried to sign Mark Wood. I did say that. I'd have tried to sign Mark Wood as a replacement for the first four or five games, if that's what needs to be. Rajasthan Royals are desperate to get Jofra Archer back, and I think the minute that Jofra Archer can let go of the ball, I think we'll see him in a pink and blue shirt. We'll see him on our TV. And fingers crossed for Jofra. He's getting Rajasthan to win in games, because I'd love to see, because of the English connection, Joss and Ben, you know, Liam Livingston, that's out there playing for Rajasthan. And I think Jofra Archer in their team just completely changes the dynamics of the Rajasthan Royals. And I think that was so apparent last night. They will score runs quickly, but they're going to have to score runs quickly without Archer, because they're going to be chasing some monumental totals.
Okay, quickly then, second round of the championship. Which streams are you going to be logging on to?
I'm hoping, I don't know what the England boys, which England boys are back playing. It'd be interesting to see if Brodie's back. Brodie goes to Trent, we have home ground, Trent Bridge against Sibley, Warwickshire. That might be a decent battle. Broad with a brand new ball against Dom Sibley, who will try and leave him as much as he possibly can. That will be good. Crawley against Root down at Canterbury. If Joe's in the Yorkshire side to go down there, you know, would Jimmy play at Lancashire against Northampton? Hampshire Middlesex. That looks a good game. Durham Essex looks a good game. And I hate to do this, but the Surrey boys, if you're going to try and fill your boots, well, you've played at the Oval against the Leicester Bolton attack, which didn't really hit their straps in the first game. So they'll be hoping Leicester and Paul Nixon will be getting at them to hit their straps in the second game, because there's some big scalps for the Leicester bowlers there at a magnificent ground now at the Oval against some England boys.
And finally, congratulations to you, Harmy, because if any listeners don't know, I think it is worth mentioning that you shot 73 in your first round after lockdown. After how many months off the course?
Was it 3 months off the course? Manners, I've shot more than 73 in front nine every single time I've played since. I've hitting it, well, honestly, that deer, I was hitting the ball nicely. After then, I was hitting the ball like I was bowling a white ball. I was all over the shop, I tell you. It was, it's been poor.
Well, keep working on your game. Thanks, Harmy. This has been the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 and our review of the opening weekend of the County Championship season. If you missed any of the show or wish to catch up, you know what to do. You can download the following on podcast, now available via the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to TalkSport 2.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.